Friendship, we believe God's Word is powerful, and that God's Word changes lives. Amen? So today we're going to lean in together and ask that God will change us and transform us as we study together. We are in part two of a four-week series called Purpose, and we're focusing on this ordinary guy, a guy by the name of Nehemiah. And I want to set up the message by giving you some thoughts, and then we'll dive in and let God speak to us. My guess is that there is something that bothers you when you see it happen in the world. Some injustice, some event that takes place, something that weighs heavy on your heart. And when you see that happen to others, it breaks your heart. It disturbs you. It bothers you deeply. It might be a need that you see and you feel that somebody ought to do something about it. It might be a group of people who are hurting, maybe those who've been abused or those who've been neglected. But you see a need that exists, and you believe that somebody ought to stand up and act. Somebody needs to do something about it. Maybe many of you might experience a divine burden, something that disturbs you, something that moves you in a significant way. Here's what I've discovered about burdens, is that the burden you bear often reveals the calling that you will embrace. I think that's true, that the burden that we bear, this heaviness that we have on our heart, it often reveals God's calling on our life and how God wants to use us. He takes that burden and he draws us, he compels us into a ministry that makes a difference in the lives of others. I also believe that you and I rarely ever know when we are on the front end of something really special. You rarely know when you're on the front end of something that's going to make a significant difference in the life of someone else. So what tends to happen is that we see a need and we think, you know, somebody can and somebody should do something about that. And then we feel led by God to give it a shot, and so we step out. And as we do, God does more in us and through us than we would ever imagine. You're bothered by something, you see a need, you're leaning into it, you're considering doing something about it, and I need to point out that you may be on the front end of something that is very special, that God wants to do in you and through you. So let me give us a little bit of backstory for the passage that we're going to be studying today. We're in Nehemiah chapter 2, and the backstory is that go back to about 586 B.C., when a very evil king, a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, led the Babylonian people to attack Jerusalem. And the Babylonians, they completely destroyed the city, they destroyed the lifestyle, the culture, the values of the Jewish people. Their temple was destroyed. The Babylonians took the Jewish people into captivity, and this crushed their spirits. It demoralized them beyond any hope. Fast forward 140 years. And some of the Jewish people, they are released out of captivity. They go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their homeland. And if you can imagine, they're going back into a demolished city. There is no economic structure. There are no jobs. There are no systems. There's no government or leadership. There's no direction. And most of all, there's no hope. And so the Jewish people, they're trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but they hit a dead end. And they can't seem to get anything going. They're not getting anywhere. Some 140 years after the destruction, this ordinary guy named Nehemiah, he's brokenhearted for his people, brokenhearted for his city. You say, well, who's Nehemiah? He wasn't a pastor. Nehemiah wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't even a contractor. He was a cupbearer to the king. That was his task. Just an ordinary guy, a cupbearer to the king of Persia. Nehemiah didn't have any formal position. All he had was God-ordained passion. Now, I'm not sure who, but you're listening this morning and you don't have a position. You've not been commissioned for something. And yet what you do have is a passion from God about something that matters. And friend, let me tell you, that's all that you need is a passion from God. A passionate about something that you might do that will make a difference. I can tell you that your God-given passion, it qualifies you to make a difference. So last week we learned about Nehemiah, and he heard of the need of his people, and his heart was broken. And the first thing he did was he sat down and he cried. He wept. Nehemiah mourned and fasted. He knelt down to pray. That's the second thing he did. In fact, He does this over 12 different times in the book of Nehemiah. The cupbearer invokes the power of God, praying to the God of heaven. And then finally, Nehemiah stood up to act. For Nehemiah, the ache in his soul reached a point where Nehemiah said, somebody's got to do something about this. Somebody needs to act. And it might as well be me. So how do you do the work? How do you make a difference? Let me share with you this morning four thoughts. And I want us to remain practical. I want to let the Spirit of God empower us to do the work, empower us to make a difference. So if you want to make a difference, the first thought is this, that you must seek God faithfully. It's the first thing, that we've got to seek God faithfully again and again. We see Nehemiah going before God, praying and praying and praying again. In fact, let me give you the timeline so that you get a handle on this. If you read in the text, you'll see that Nehemiah heard the news about the people in the month of Kislev. Now, everybody here knows that that is between the months of November and December, right? Everybody knew that. 170 days until Thanksgiving. There are 209 days till Christmas. Some of you are already got your shopping started. But Nehemiah begins praying in the month of Kislev, and he prays until the month of Nisan. 4 months. 4 months he is praying. 4 months he is going before God, seeking God faithfully. And I want you to notice something. He's not only praying for 4 months, but Nehemiah is fasting. He's hurting. He's seeking the God of heaven. And you say, well, why is he doing this? Nehemiah is asking God to lead his steps. You see, it's impossible for the cupbearer to go before the king and to make a request, because the cupbearer's job is to take the burdens off the king, not put more burdens upon the king. It wasn't the cupbearer's responsibility to deliver to the king any sort of news. In fact, for Mideastern kings, you didn't want to be the person that delivered bad news, because your life would be in jeopardy. And so, really, Nehemiah is in a tricky spot. He's in a difficult place. Let's see how this unfolds. Look with me in verse 2. Nehemiah describes it this way. He says, so the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you're not ill? This is nothing but sadness of heart. You can almost hear the closeness in the relationship that Nehemiah and the king share. They're close enough that the king recognizes that something is disturbing Nehemiah. Nehemiah's got something on his heart. Something's not right. And so he asked. Look in verse 4. Nehemiah said, the king said to me, what would you request? And what does Nehemiah do? What does it say? What do you do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven. How many times do we see this? The king asked a question, and Nehemiah prays about how to respond. Now, church, this isn't a three-day prayer retreat. You see, Nehemiah had already been in a season of prayer. He's been praying for how many months? For 4 months. He's been seeking God faithfully. And so that I kind of see this relationship between Nehemiah and God. Here is a man who is walking so closely with God that now he just talks to God. I mean, he spent so much time seeking God's face that he just lifts up these flash prayers, if you will. Friend, I hope that you will do both. I hope that you will have long seasons of prayer. I hope that you will spend time on your knees before God, seeking the heart of God, so that when you're in the moment and you have to make a decision, you can just lift up this flash prayer to God. God, guide me. God, show me what you want me to do. God, give me the words to say. God, make clear what it is that you want me to do. God, grant me wisdom. Just these quick prayers that we ask. And the reason we can do that is because we're not catching up on our devotion time. We've spent time seeking God. We've spent time on our face before him. So there in the presence of the king, when the king says, what do you want? Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven, and he was able to answer the king. Friend, I hope you'll remember this about prayer. There is nothing too big for God in prayer. There's nothing too big for God's power. There is nothing too small for God's heart. And so I want you to know that God cares about it all. If it is a burden to you, then you can take it to God in prayer. You and I must seek God faithfully. Remember, there's nothing too big for God's power. Amen? There's nothing too small for his heart. And so we start by seeking God faithfully. God, I need you. God, direct me. God, guide me. For 4 months, Nehemiah faithfully sought after God through prayer. Friend, if you have a heart for something, if you have a vision for something, listen, if prayer isn't necessary for you to accomplish the vision, then you're not thinking big enough. You're not thinking large enough. Because we want to do things. I want to be involved in something that's so God-sized that if God doesn't come through, it doesn't happen. That's what I want to be involved in. That's where my heart is. And so we see that with Nehemiah. He seeks the God, seeks the Lord God faithfully. And then a second thought is that you've got to define the vision clearly. Define the vision clearly. For most people, it's not a lack of caring that's the problem. For most people, it's a lack of clarity. The problem for most of us is that we have not specifically defined what it is that God has called us to do. And so I want you to catch the crystal clear clarity of an ordinary man with a vision from God. Watch how this happens in verse 4 and 5. Nehemiah writes, "Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?' And so I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, I request that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may what? That I may rebuild it.'" One sentence. Absolute clarity. What did Nehemiah say? "Send me to Judah so that I can rebuild the walls." You see the clarity in that? We are to seek God faithfully. We are to define the vision clearly. Let me tell you what Nehemiah didn't do. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. But let me just share with you. This is what a lot of people do. Nehemiah didn't say, "Well, King, there's something I've been thinking about. My Aunt Martha, she's from Jerusalem, you know, and she's got 3 kids. Mickey's one of them. And Mickey sent me this article about the people in Jerusalem, and I've been reading about the people there. There's a lot of big words, so I went to Wikipedia and I looked it up, and so I think I got the gist of what it's all about. But King, I've been thinking about this, and I'd like to do this little mission trip, and I'm getting kind of tired of pouring your wine and testing it all the time, and just I'm passionate about traveling, and so King, I'm thinking about going to see the world, and I'm thinking about this mission trip, and I'm really not sure yet, but Mickey and Martha think that because you're the king, that I ought to share with you what I'm thinking about doing and let you tell me what you think. So King, what do you think about it?" Now, did you follow all of that? Nehemiah had a clear plan. He had a clear vision. It's not caring that's the problem. For most of us, it's a lack of clarity. The question is, what is God calling you to do? Maybe you feel led to help children. If so, what children are you going to help? And how are you going to help them? What are you going to do? What children will you help? Is it those who don't have their basic needs met? Is it children who cannot read? Or children who are abused or homeless? And where is this going to take place? Are you going to help the people in McCracken County? Are you going to help children who live on the other side of the world? Clarity in our vision. The bottom line is this: if you can't define it, you're not likely going to do it. If you cannot define what God is leading you to do, you will never be successful in carrying it out. The king asked his cupbearer, what do you want me to do? And Nehemiah said, "Please send me to Judah so that I can rebuild the walls." In a single sentence, what is it that God is leading you to do? In a single sentence, can you clearly define the vision that God has given you? Maybe God's leading you to lead your family to be debt-free except for your mortgage by the year of 2023. That's something that is definable. It's something that may be doable. Maybe God's leading you to have a personal conversation with everyone in your class at school, or maybe you're a teacher, and you're going to have a gospel conversation with those in your class, or maybe it's the people on your street. You've got people that live beside you and behind you and in front of you, and you've never had a gospel conversation with them. And God's calling you to do that, and you're making a commitment. Hey, here's the vision. I'm going to share the gospel with those around me. Maybe God's leading you to donate a combined $100,000 to the church by the time you turn 35 or the time that you turn 40. What is it that God is clearly calling you to do? in a single sentence. What is it? How will you do the work? How will you make a difference? You seek God faithfully. You define the vision clearly. And then number three, you must make plans carefully. Make plans carefully. I've discovered the problem is that a goal without a plan is nothing more than a wish. A goal without a plan is nothing more than a wish. And the truth is, some of us are just wishing. Some of us are just wishing. We have a goal, we have no plan, and so we're just wishing. And it's time we make a plan. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to get organized. You know, our God is a systematic God. We live in a solar system, right? 7 days a week, every week. There are not 8 days some weeks. There are not 6 days some weeks. How many days? Always seven. We know that there are not 372 days in a year. We know that. Our God is a systematic God. He is a God of order. And you and I must make plans carefully. I want you to see how Nehemiah does this, how he makes his plans. Look in verse 6. The king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. You'll notice that Nehemiah made a plan. When he was asked about the length of the time that he would be away, he didn't say, I don't have a clue. He didn't say, King, I'm not sure, I'll be back when I get done. No, he was specific with the king. He set a time. And watch this, look in verse 7 and 8. Nehemiah said, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, so that they will allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. Basically, Nehemiah is asking the king for protection. Protect me. Send letters to those who are in charge. And then he says, and may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. So Nehemiah asked the king for protection, and he asked for provision. He says, look, I need protection to get where I need to go, and I need provision so that I'll have something to build with when I get there. And then Nehemiah said, and the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. So what do we see Nehemiah doing? He sought God. He was led by the Spirit of God. God was directing his words, guiding his steps. Nehemiah was incredibly clear on what he was going to Jerusalem to do. He created a plan. He clearly communicated how it would be accomplished. Maybe you're trying to develop a perfect plan. I want you to listen this morning. The plan doesn't have to be perfect for you to move forward. The plan doesn't have to be perfect. You know what my plan is? My plan is to do the next right thing. That's my plan. When I think about how do we rebuild these walls? How do we reach the families in our church who have not returned since the pandemic started? Oh, what's missions going to look like next spring or next year at this time? Bible school's coming up. How are we going to handle Bible school this summer? Transportation ministry. We've had folks calling the office the last few weeks, adults saying, I'd like to come to worship. Do you have a bus ministry? How are we going to retool and re-enlist volunteers as we pick up speed and get back to ministry the way that we've done ministry before? I can tell you that all of that can be overwhelming for a guy like me who only works one day a week. And so here's my plan. We're going to do the next right thing. We're going to do the next right thing. What is it that God's leading us to do? We're going to do the next right thing, step by step, faithfulness by faithfulness. For me, success is not achieving some accomplishment out there in the future. Success is being faithful to do the right thing today. So what is your plan? And whatever it is, do the next right thing. If the next right thing for you is to start a ministry, then do the next right thing. Have a meeting with someone who's already doing that. And pick their brain and take notes and ask questions. Ask for a tour. Show me what that looks like. Maybe you've got an idea and you want to learn more about it. Take an online class. Find a mentor. Maybe instead of starting a new work, maybe God's leading you to partner with someone who's already leading in that direction. And you're just going to come alongside them. And it's something that you're passionate about. Something that God has burdened you with. An ache in your soul. Find someone who's already meeting that need and partner with them. How can we make a difference? Well, we seek God faithfully. We define the vision clearly. We make plans carefully. And then the final thought is that you must inspire people passionately. Inspire people passionately. Next week, we're going to look at some of the challenges that Nehemiah faced in the work that God had called them to do. You see, Nehemiah encountered a great deal of opposition. There were some hardcore critics, some haters that he was forced to deal with. His own people, the Jewish community, they were extremely discouraged. Many of them felt as if God was not with them. And they felt that way because they were failing. The work wasn't getting done. They were distracted. They were exhausted. They felt like failures. But Nehemiah, again and again, and we're going to see this in the weeks to come, he reaches down deep within his soul and he inspires his people passionately. It wasn't an easy task, but he inspired the people to move ahead. And let me show you how Nehemiah inspired them. Look in verses 17 and 18. Chapter 2, 17 says this, "I said to them, you see the bad situation that we're in." Church, Nehemiah acknowledges that things aren't good. He points out, says, look, we are in serious trouble. Nehemiah is authentic. He's truthful. He's not trying to sweep their problems under the rug and pretend it's all good. He acknowledges the bad situation that they were in. He says that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates have been burned by fire. Come, let's rebuild a wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a disgrace. And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Nehemiah is reminding his people, God is with us. God is working. God is for us. And then they said, let us arise and build. And so they put their hands to the good work. Friend, we are to inspire the people around us to believe that God is for us, that God is involved, that God is guiding us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he's for us, he's empowering us. God is going before us and he's opening doors that you and I could never open ourselves. God is showing us favor with the hearts of people. Our God is with us and we must inspire people passionately. It's a quote from John Wesley, founder of the United Methodist Church. And listen to what he said. He said, light yourself on fire with passion, and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Friend, will you let the fire burn within you? Will you commit to inspiring people? One of the things that we are passionate about at Friendship is the gospel. Our focus isn't about building church buildings. We're focused on filling heaven with people who need the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're passionate about. So if you know somebody who needs grace, invite them. Bring them. Let the Friendship family show them the unconditional love of a Jesus who has changed us from the inside out. Encourage them to gather with us. Let's do everything we can to get them into the presence of God. And then let's watch as God's Spirit does something that we don't have the power to do ourselves, as God begins to change their heart and restore a relationship with them. Romans 1:16, Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Friend, there is not a person who is too far from the reach of God. There is no one who God's Spirit cannot touch and bring them into his love and his grace. If you believe our God is mighty to save, say amen. So what is it that you care about? What is it that when you see it happen, it breaks your heart to the point that you just can't keep it to yourself? What disturbs you to the point where it oozes out of you, not with an anger that turns people away, but with passion that draws people in? What is it that burdens you? Church, I believe we could empty the foster homes and we could get kids in good homes. We can help people be free of addictions. We can save marriages from divorce by teaching the truth of God's goodness. We can help people heal from what is on the inside of their heart. But we must believe that God can and will make a difference in us and through us. And we must inspire others to be a part of the work. Friend, the very thing that you care about, the burden that you've experienced, what if that burden is not an accident? What if it's not? What if God trusted it to you because it bothers you more than it bothers anyone else? Maybe that's because God has given you an assignment that no one else has. See, the burden that you bear often reveals the calling that you will embrace. He said, but Jason, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel prepared. Congratulations, because you're exactly the type of person that God uses. Ordinary people, everyday people who are passionate about doing what God has placed upon your heart. So how do you make a difference? You seek God faithfully. You define the vision clearly. You make plans carefully. And you inspire people passionately. And you step out and you do what you can. And then you watch God do more through you and through your step of faith than you ever imagined. I pray that our God not only inspires us, but I pray that He equips us to do the work and to make a difference in our community. At Friendship, let's be people of prayer, asking God to guide our steps. And as He does, let's do the next right thing. I pray that you see yourself as God sees you. Friend, you are invaluable to God's work. You have spiritual gifts to invest in the church and in the world. For some of you this morning, the next right thing is for you to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you that He's the one who knows you the best, and He still loves you the most. And if you sense something drawing you towards God this morning, it's His grace, it's His goodness, it's God's loving kindness. And so for you, the next right thing is to call upon the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Jesus came for sinners. He came for people who are broken, just like you and me. What did He do? The Bible says He was the innocent and perfect sacrifice who gave His life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Friend, Jesus died in your place. But God the Father raised His Son from the dead, defeating death and darkness, defeating hell and the grave. The Bible teaches that anyone who calls upon the name of Christ, they will be saved. You'll be forgiven, changed. Friend, you're never going to be made right with God by being better or by trying harder or being less bad. No, the only way that you're made right with God is by placing your faith, your trust in God's perfect work through His perfect Son, Jesus. So I ask you, would you turn from your sin today and turn toward Christ? Will you surrender your life to Him? When I gave my life to the Lord, there was so much about the Bible that I didn't understand, so much that I didn't know. But I knew this much. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that my sin had separated me from a holy God. And I knew that the only hope that I had in this life and the life to come was through a personal relationship with a God who gave me life. And so I remember kneeling at an altar just like this one. And I prayed. Made a decision to turn away from my old life, turn away from my sin, and to surrender my life to Christ. I decided to relinquish control of my life to the one who died on the cross for me. If you're prepared to do that this morning, if you're prepared to call upon the name of Christ, surrender your life to Him, then right where you are this morning, you just share your heart with Him. Let Him know what's on your heart. God, my life is no longer mine. Today, by faith, I give my life to You. God, forgive me of my sin and save me. Change me and make me new. Fill me with Your Spirit that I can do all that You've called me to do. Friend, there may be many decisions in life that you one day will regret. But the decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ is one that you'll never, never regret. Best decision you'll ever make. In just a moment, we're going to stand to sing. And as we do, you meet me down front and you let me and this church family celebrate with you that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord. You know, the Bible talks about making our decision public, and one of the ways that we identify ourselves as a believer is through baptism. Maybe you've trusted in Christ and you've prayed and to receive him and you're walking with God, but you've not followed him in believer's baptism. It's something that we're commanded to do, but we do it out of obedience to God. Maybe that's the step, the next right thing for you to do. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this community of faith. If so, then partner with us at Friendship. We would love for you to be a part of what God is doing here. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for calling that you place upon us as we walk with you, as we spend time in your word, time with other believers. God, you impress upon our heart things that we care about, things that are important to us, things that matter, things that last. Father, we all want to make a difference. We all want to contribute towards your kingdom. So God, I pray that you give us courage. And as we seek you faithfully, God, I pray that you'll give us a vision. Very clearly, you'll make us aware of that burden, that thing that we're passionate about. And then God, help us to make plans carefully. That we'll think through and pray through and allow you to open the doors that need to be opened. That we can walk through those doors and we can do the next right thing. And then, Lord, lead us to inspire those around us to get involved in what you're doing. Father, I pray that you would raise up men and women and boys and girls from this church who will make a difference in their schools, in their workplace, in their neighborhood, and in our community and beyond. Father, help us to take those burdens that you've given us. And as they reveal our calling, help us to step out in faith and to be obedient. God, I pray for those this morning who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would draw, that you would convict of sin, that you would help us to see our need. This path we're on, it leads to death and destruction. But God, you've got something better for us. If we'll turn away from the old life, put our trust in you and your Son, Jesus. Father, move this morning, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.